Oh, we are so looking forward to the weekend. So many fun things that you should be doing. It's getting cooler. Winter is just around the corner when we're going to be hunkered down, especially if we see some snowdrops. So get out and enjoy yourself. Get rid of the mask. Just be healthy, be happy, and live your life to the fullest, because you never know what we're going to get tomorrow. So if you don't live it to the fullest today, then, well, you're basically yourself over. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. Yesterday's poll question, should the Washoe County School District lay off staff from all departments since there are fewer children physically at the schools? This is the future. This is what the push for NWO has brought us. 42% of those participating in the poll said yes. Just cut the staff. Start. 13% said no. We've got a couple of odds and ends for the answers. 33% also said yes and refund school taxes to the property owners. Went through almost two semesters, not in school. But I want to share this one with you. 4% said this is more than just no. Because of students that are either distance learning, still administered by teachers, hybrid teachers are teaching in person and at-home students during the same time or 100% in school, all teachers are working harder, longer, and outside of contract time during this time. And then it goes on. The reason that we asked this question was because of cafeteria workers, the lunch people, the breakfast people, because the meals being served have dropped from 45,000 meals served per day to just 20,000. So why do you still have all of that staff? This is Sisolak's doing. I'm sorry. But if there's no money, there's no money. And you can't keep coming to the trough, which is the taxpayer, for more. Because every single thing from here on out is going up. Fees are going up. Taxes are going up. The price of food is going up. The price of gas is going up. The price of healthcare is going up. Because we allowed this to happen. Today's poll question brought to you by Nissan of Carson City, and that is, should President Trump even participate in the next presidential debate if they have it virtually? I say no. Because people are already suspicious of Joe Biden being wired up for the debate. Video, evidence, photographic proof. So what do you think he would be doing if he were sitting behind a video monitor with people surrounding him, holding up his big old cue cards so he could read them? It's just another form of cheating. Well, we want to make sure that our veterans are not cheated out of the health care that they deserve, out of everything that they deserve for the things that they sacrifice to not only keep this country safe, but to keep those in danger around the world safe as well. So joining me once again, very special guest who I was just so thrilled to have on last time. And I asked him to do something for me. And you know what? Unlike politicians, he actually did it. He actually did what I asked him to. And I had no doubts in my mind whatsoever that he wasn't going to do it for me. So please welcome back to the show, Mark Jackson. Now, I'm going to let Mark explain what the organization that he is now a part of is all about, because he does it much better than I do. But Mark Jackson, thank you so much for coming back and being on the show. And please let people know what the Stronghold Freedom Foundation is and what is K2?
Hey, Monica. Thanks. It's good to be back. So the Stronghold Freedom Foundation gets its name from Camp Stronghold Freedom, which was also called K2 Air Base, which was named after the towns of Karshi and Khanabad in southern Uzbekistan. It was an old Soviet base that the U.S. used from actually 19 years ago on October 7th was the day we went there. So we just hit that anniversary. Wow. And we were there until about 2005. And we used that base to invade northern Afghanistan. Ironically, that's what the Soviets had done in 1979. And we used it as a logistics base until the Uzbeks kicked us out in 2005. What happened at K2 was that the Soviets had used it for nuclear waste, chemical weapons, both production and demilitarization, along with all the other things that come along with an air base. We have similar issues on our Air Force bases here, you know, all sorts of chemicals and petroleum and all that stuff, everything just left in the soil. So soldiers, airmen, everybody that went there started getting sick, some of them right away. The DOD did several environmental surveys right at the beginning of the occupation, and again towards the end, all of which confirmed everything I just told you. Those reports were classified, and when the base was closed, it was quite literally classified and forgot. What the Stronghold Freedom Foundation has done since it was began in, I believe we got our 501c3 in February of this year. So since February of this year, we have been lobbying for legislation to recognize Uzbekistan as a location to which the U.S. deployed troops, because currently federal law does not recognize that we were in Uzbekistan, which negates the ability of veterans to get preventative care and to get the presumption of service connection for all the things that are wrong with them because they lived in a toxic waste dump. So that's what we've been working on.
And it's understandable because when you're in a time of war, when something is going on, you can't just make everything known to the public. And so I think people understand that. But once that scenario has been played out, it has to go back and be corrected for the people who served. And it's so easy to do that.
It is. In fact, this can be corrected by Congress adding one word to the CFR, the Code of Federal Regulations, where we get our federal law from. If they add the word Uzbekistan to the CFR, which they've already done with Afghanistan, that provides about 80% of the coverage that these veterans need. And there's only 10,100 K2 veterans, of which most already receive some sort of care from the VA if they need it because they went other places, right? But we have within our population about 3,000 people who only went to K2, who if they walk into the VA and said, but I was in Uzbekistan, they're out of luck. They are flat out of luck unless they're ill. They're ill, the VA will take care of them. Otherwise, they do not get preventative care.
Yeah, and everybody knows preventative care is, especially if you're looking at horrific cancers and things like that, that's what you need.
So let's use my body as an example. My thyroid was destroyed at K2. I have osteoporosis from K2. I have non-iron deficient anemia from K2. I have IBS from K2. All these things are stemming from that. All those things are treatable and they're indicative of other disease processes. But because I have good physicians, because they're monitoring those things, because I have medication, I'm good. I'll also point out that I have private health insurance that takes care of that. But a lot of people don't have that luxury. And it is a luxury, especially when it comes to some of these expensive to treat. So that's one of the things we're working towards is just trying to get that recognition. So it's the step towards recognition, and then after that, it's a step towards legislation. And we are the very tip of a massive issue of toxic exposures in the American military generally. And I guess I want to point out, and you pointed it out, we had a mission to conduct. It doesn't matter how filthy the place was. It doesn't matter how many bombs there were. It doesn't matter who or what we're fighting. We're going to do that. And I don't know anybody that says, well, I'm not going to go if it's dirty. I'm not going to go if I'm going to get sick. No, that's part of the deal. And we upheld our part of the deal. What's happening is that the government that sent us is not holding up their part of the deal. They said they'd take care of us.
Yeah. All right, Mark, I'm going to put you on hold for just a minute because my heart sang I was walking around with a grin on my face for days after I received your last email, and it made me feel so good. It made me actually feel like I accomplished something. But I'm going to keep you on hold and do this quick break, and we will be right back with Mark Jackson, protecting those who the government is not. The legislative director, board member of Stronghold Freedom Foundation, right after this, and the connection here to Northern Nevada, right after this quick break on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
The FM new News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. And I just, wow, thank you so much for the emails and the texts. We take just a 2-3 minute break there, and my fingers are typing to the bone trying to respond to people. So I appreciate it so much. Right now, though, we have a special guest on the line, and that is Mark Jackson, who is the legislative director and board member for Stronghold Freedom Foundation. Now, Mark, I could spend another half hour just going through your credentials as a special agent, as the military man that you are, and your credentials. So I hope people understand that this is not, you are not just somebody who is tilting at windmills, so to say. You are a man on a mission, because this has impacted you. You've seen the results. You've seen it in action. And it's a big deal for you.
It is my life. When it is your life, it doesn't feel unusual until you take a step back, or when I hear someone like you describe it and you realize that, okay, this isn't normal, and that this is extraordinary. And that's why I've kind of made this my second full-time job, is to, as you put it, it's not a chaotic quest, right? We're not tilting at windmills, but it is Sisyphean, right? We're pushing the boulder up the hill and it's rolling right back down, because every time we take a step forward with Congress, we take two or three back. And not only does it take a lot of time, but it takes a lot of energy and a lot of money to get something like this accomplished.
The reason that my heart sang from the last time that you were on is because from our interview, from talking to you, you actually found people here in Northern Nevada that are suffering from K2 that didn't know you existed.
That's right. We had several new members reach out to us through our Facebook page. They were vetted. They joined the group, and they reached out to me and thanked us for doing what we're doing. So I figured that would happen because there's K2 veterans pretty much all over the country. So the fact that they'd be somewhere, especially somewhere that's military heavy like Northern Nevada, wasn't super surprising to me. They said the same thing I said the first time I talked to you. As I said, I thought I was alone. And because it becomes a profoundly lonely experience when these things start happening to you and to your body and to your friends, and you're not recognized, that sacrifice that you've made willingly is not recognized by the people that sent you.
Now, as a military man, I don't think you really saw this coming in your future, but now you're the legislative director, because you just kind of got dragged into a hearing one time, and it blossomed from there. But I asked you on a special request to actually find out what the senators and congresspeople here in Nevada, how they reacted to this situation, and if they even knew about K2. What did you find out? Mark, are you still with us? No! All right. We're going to, I'm going to just sit here and babble for a moment. And hopefully we're going to disconnect the line, and we'll get Mark Jackson back with us ASAP. Just when you're doing something good, huh? Kind of suspicious there. What do you think? Yeah. I won't put it on that. But Mark responded to, we've been emailing back and forth, and the organization specifically reached out to Nevada senators, and this is what he sent back to me. Until we made these renewed efforts, Nevada legislators were the only members of the House and Senate who had not replied to any inquiries by K2 veterans and SFF staff. Do you believe that? Nobody, none of our legislators responded when they were contacted about this information. We have Nellis. We have Indian Springs. We have Fallon Naval Air Station. And we have so much more. Our legislators proclaim that they are all about our veterans, that they are all about their care and well-being. Yet none of them replied to any inquiries. Just before I spoke to you, I spoke with Representative Susie Lee, co-sponsored H.R. 5957, though her involvement was not based upon any lobbying by SFF or K2 veterans. So we've got Mark Jackson back on the line with us. Oh, we don't have Mark back with us. Okay. So we are continuing to try to reconnect that. Like, Mark is in Orlando, so I don't know what. It's a long distance. It's a long distance thing, but it could also be because of who knows what we're talking about. You know, you start talking about government issues, and things just happen to happen. So there you have it. So Susie Lee tries to be, you know, like she's involved with it, but she has no real involvement. Just because you sign your name to something doesn't mean that you know what it's about, doesn't mean that you've actually read the bill, and it doesn't mean that you're actually involved and you're trying to lobby for the betterment of what is going on. It looks as though Mark is calling in, so hopefully we can actually connect with him, and hopefully our phone system is not going down again. Always at the worst. Isn't that Murphy's Law? Always at the worst time. What can I say? Okay, so we've got Mark back on the line. Mark, I was just reading your email. Sorry about the loss in the connection there, but I was just reading your email and stressing the line that you had here, that Nevada legislators were the only members of the House and Senate who had not replied to any of the inquiries by K2 veterans and SFF staff. I find that I find that reprehensible, since we have Nellis, Indian Springs, Naval Air Station Fallon. We are a military state, and these people, when we elect them, proclaim to want to do everything they possibly can for veterans, and yet they're not.
I admit I was surprised. So there's a whole staff that works with me on this issue. We have kind of the country divided up into regions, but every staff member that works on legislation for the Stronghold Freedom Foundation reached out to Nevada representatives the week you and I spoke. So that was part of a planned push. I've actually, the organization's reached out to every member of the House and Senate in the past 2 weeks. And we've received a response probably from about half. That's probably the average. But what makes Nevada unique is that other than Representative Amadei, we receive no responses whatsoever. That's unusual. Usually you get something. You'll get lip service. You'll get a form letter, you know, but we got nothing. And that's kind of and we tried, by the way. I kept asking everybody, have you gotten anything from Nevada, anything from Nevada? And several times we reached out, 2, 3, 4 times. We have a couple of K2 veterans who live in Nevada, who reached out again and again and again and got nothing. And I don't even know how to respond to that, because that's not a negative response. That's no response. But what has this story been from the beginning, right? It's we're forgotten. It's not only who cares, but who are you? So it's not something that we're not used to, but it was surprising in that we've gotten enough coverage and we've had enough people talk to enough members of the House. You know, there's over 50 co-sponsors on the bill in the House. I was a little surprised that they outright ignored us.
Well, Mark Amadei is our only Republican. So if that gives you any indication from the rest of our congressional delegation and our senators, they're all Democrats. And I don't mean to play that up, because, you know, Republicans and Democrats and independents all love our military. But it's a sad state of affairs for Nevada, I tell you that. Mark, I got to let you go here. And I want you to give another push, though, for people that are concerned about this issue, for our military men and women, for the average citizen. How can they find out more about K2 and the Stronghold Freedom Foundation?
Absolutely. Go to the strongholdfreedomfoundation.org website. Everything you need is there. We even have a link on that first page where you can donate. We'll never say no. But you also can click, and it'll take you straight to by zip code to whoever your legislator is, and it'll send a letter telling them everything about it. It also has links to other media, has lots of pictures, tells the whole K2 story, and you don't have to deal with me at all on the website. I got nothing to do with it.
But you'll want to hunt Mark down, because he's a great conversation, and just to even hear a few of the stories. Actually, I encourage you go on YouTube and check out some of the video interviews you've been on, because the story is just incredible, and you're just a fun guy to talk with and listen to.
And I got colorful stories for days if you want them.
Yeah, and colorful languages too. Mark knew he had to clean it up for for this show.
I've been very careful.
Mark, God bless, and thank you for everything you do, not only for the veterans, but also for the knowledge, just bringing the public around to what's really going on and how all of this stuff works. So, Mark Jackson, thank you so much for joining me today, and you'll be back soon. I know you will. This is what we do. We bring you the information that you're not going to get other places. And to finally wake up and understand how our government works and, well, how it doesn't work. Gotcha. We'll be back right after this Fox News update on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Got a different opinion? We've got your 50,000-watt megaphone, 99.1 FM Talk. Call 884-9910, KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're here today. Log on to 991fmtalk.com. Answer today's poll question. I'd appreciate it. It's just nice to see what your thoughts are. Should President Trump participate in the next presidential debate if it's a virtual debate? Head on over to 991fmtalk.com. Brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. Yesterday's poll question: should the Washoe County School District lay off staff from all departments since there are fewer children physically at schools? This is something that, I mean, no teacher wants to be laid off. Nobody wants to be laid off. The reason I asked this question was literally because I saw the story on Channel 4 with the food services staff. I mean, they're putting out fewer lunches, so why have that big of a staff? Here's the deal. Not only has Governor Sisolak lied to Nevadans about getting teachers pay raises and everything like that, but this is the result that the way higher-ups, that the elite want. This is the push from brick and mortar to online. Because online, you see, you hear, and you know exactly what every child is being taught and how you can manipulate that, track it, and make changes. We're already seeing it with teachers complaining about the rooms that in these virtual classrooms that the students are in. One child was suspended because he had his airsoft rifle on the wall behind him. Or was that the Trump sign behind him? Teachers are coming forward and saying, you know what? I don't like the room decor you're sitting in and learning, so I'm going to complain and have you tossed until you change it. How is that right? How is that even acceptable? Because now we have legislators who don't want homeschooling. They don't want charter schools. They don't want freedom of choice is great if a woman wants to, you know, kill off her baby, but freedom of choice is not good when it comes to a child's education. Killing babies good, education bad. This is where it's going to in the future. You know, I see one teacher on a big screen and then all the assistant teachers on computers answering kids' questions and responding that way, while one person is directing a class of hundreds, because that's where computer technology is taking us. So, are we going to get any of our property tax money back? No. Because that has to be spent on the infrastructure for this new online learning setup. This is the wave of the future. And I don't really think at this point you get a say in it. So, just my thought. Thank you for participating in our poll questions. This is what gets the information out there and what gets the conversation started and going, hopefully. All right. Bumped him, but he called back. So I'm so glad we have him right now, and that is Frederick is joining us to let us know whatever you want to do this weekend. Make sure you take some time to celebrate America, celebrate our independence, and celebrate our president and the entire political process at getting your voice heard. Frederick, what's going on with our rallies this weekend?
Hey, Monica, thanks for having me. This evening in Reno, we'll be on the corner of Kitsky and Plum. Waving flags and that kind of thing. And we'll start about 4:15 p.m. So please come and join us. Tomorrow at 9 a.m., we're going to meet in the Summit Sierra Shopping Mall parking lot out in front of the Apple Store at 9 a.m. Depart there at 9:30, heading towards Carson. Kind of a flag parade from Reno to Carson, where we'll meet people at Carson at Vista Lane. And so Carson folks should probably meet up there starting at 9:30, and we should get there about 10. And then we will, or maybe a little after, then we'll roll through downtown Carson around the legislature, and then we'll get out and wave our flags there in front of the legislature till about 2 o'clock, and then probably parade back to Reno. And Sunday at 1 p.m., we'll be in the Bonanza Casino parking lot, and it'll be a back the blue, a blue line parade around the sheriff's department and the police department. So that's Sunday at 1 p.m. in the Bonanza parking lot. So,
and how can people find out?
I have a whole flyer put together with all of our future events. We're getting more and more organized all the time, and I'm going to get that to you here just a little bit later today, Monica, so be looking for that.
All right. That sounds fantastic. And where can people email you again, Frederick, to get more information?
Thanks for asking. NVGrassrootsPatriots@yahoo.com. Once again, NVGrassrootsPatriots@yahoo.com. And we are also on the, I believe it's NevadaPatriots.net website now. That's Bruce's website, NevadaPatriots.net. And then I also wanted to let you know, we've got one of our Nevada grassroots patriots out collecting signatures for the recall Sisolak petition. And her name is Melanie. She's in the North Valley's Library parking lot area from 10 to 2 p.m. today. next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 to 2 at the library again. So the North Valley's Library from 10 to 2 today, and then every day next week except Thursday in the library parking lot there.
All right. Sounds fantastic. And since you brought up that, Fergic, we're going to take the next caller, who is Linda Thompson with the Taking Nevada Back recall process of Sisolak. So, Fergic, you have an awesome weekend. Thank you for putting all these get-togethers, because people want to, they can't attend every single one, but they can make sure that they get out and attend at least one or two of them. So appreciate all of that. And remember that all of the rallies and everything like that, their Facebook page. So, not the rallies, the signing locations for the recall process, the pop-up ones. Okay. There are some that are set that they're always there. The businesses are handling the petitions. Those locations you can find on the website at takingnevadaback.com to sign the recall petition to get Sisolak out. Now, on their Facebook page, that's where you can find the pop-up locations, because sometimes those just kind of, you know, literally in the middle of parking lots, in kind of field areas on corners. You know, they've got their signs and they've got access for you to drive in and just sign the petition. But remember, you have to have voted in the 2016 election. You have to sign the petition of the county that you are registered and were registered to vote in 2016. So, as an example, if you signed and you voted in 2016 in Clark County, yet you decided to get out of that hellhole and move to the north, and you now live in Churchill County, you can't sign the petition. I know it sucks, but it's the way the process works. So if you've re-registered, because obviously, hopefully you have, so you can vote in the 2020 election. If you've changed your registration, then you can't sign the petition. But you can be involved and help other people sign the petition by becoming a volunteer. They will email you the documents for the petition, and you can go out and collect them yourself. If Democrats can go out and pseudo-legally harvest ballots, and I say pseudo because it should be illegal, if they can do that, then doesn't matter what county you live in, you can help gather signatures to get this bozo out. We just have to make sure that we do it the right way so signatures aren't tossed. It's the only way it's going to work. I really hope that you understand what's going on. I know you do. You listen to this show, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the accolades, but I'm not doing this for that. And I just received this email, or actually, no, this is a text, came in. I took your advice and went online and tried to follow the money to the candidates and politicians. I had limited success, and because you have your thumb on the pulse of what's going on, well, let me tell you, first off, when you do this, it's really easy. What you do is you go to the campaign finance reports. You can find those on the Secretary of State's websites, campaign finance reports. And then you look at the people and the businesses who are donating. And then you can search those names. And it will pop up, you know, usually they're businesses. Are they developers? Are they lawyers? Are they, you know, a whole list of professions out there that support certain candidates? And you can watch the money. You can watch, you can see the recommendations. But the texts go on. I was hoping you could put together a small symposium, if you will, to explain some of these things on the election ballots, maybe at Bully's or somewhere like that in one of the little rooms. I have absolutely no idea who some of these people are and what they stand for. You know, Tyler, I wouldn't have a problem doing that. Tyler goes on to say, it's just an idea, and maybe we could do it on a Saturday or a Sunday. I know I don't want to take up any of your time off, or maybe we could do it when you get off work at noon or so. Tyler, I don't take literally days off. My weekends are spent with political organizations. They're spent with researching information. So I would have no problem in doing something like that. I just can't sit down and put it all together. So if you have an organization that already does this, if you want me to come and speak, like I spoke at the Nevada Patriots meeting last night, I have no problem doing that. And I know I haven't addressed too much on the ballot initiatives, but I will start doing that. Again, remember, though, these are just my opinions. Listen to my opinion, but also formulate your own and do some research on your own. Because I know how I feel changing. Let's just pull this one up. Same-sex marriage. Okay. And you can find all of these questions on your registrar. These questions are statewide. Everybody is going to be answering these. This one talks about changing the Nevada Constitution. Now, legally, across the country, same-sex marriage has been, you know, approved. So our Constitution is out of date. But, and I just want you to realize this, nothing should be taken for granted. Never say never. So why go in and change the Nevada Constitution if at some point we just have to change it back? I hate making changes to whether our Constitution or the United States Constitution. I just hate doing that. And there's no reason that we absolutely have to do it. So I say let it be. On these questions, you can find pros, cons, those who are for, those who are against. Just make sure you read everything. And if you have any questions, by all means, please, just send me an email or a text. Talk and text is 884-9910. Email is Monica at 991fmtalk.com. We'll wrap up the show right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk and 991fmtalk.com.
It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I have to laugh because it's not my show. It's your show. And I thank you so much to everybody who participates, not only in the text questions, but in the email questions and doing your due diligence. And so I have to thank Vance today for his hard work. And a question was asked earlier about the condition of your ballot when you take it in and when you turn it in, if you electronically vote. Yes, you can tear your ballot in half. You can tear it into three pieces if you'd like. You can put a big old red X or red line through the whole thing and say, you know, not valid. You can do that. You can vote in person if you haven't received your ballot yet. Because Carson City, not sending out the ballots until October 14th. Well, early voting starts on the 17th. And did anybody get a sample ballot so you could make your notes and go over stuff? I didn't get one. I got my ballot, but I didn't get the sample ballot so I could actually, you know, do my due diligence and look into all of this stuff. No, I had to go on to the website, which if you haven't received your ballot, you still can do. Just go through the Secretary of State's office and the elections. It'll show you all the ballot questions and it'll help you out for your community. This election is so important that we'll talk about it, and ballot question 4, changing again the Constitution for your voting rights. Love you. Have a great weekend.